You're listening to Weekends on ABC Radio.
While most people can expect to live well into their 80s and 90s, some people can experience a disappearance of another kind well before then. As you age, you might have noticed yourself feeling less visible than how you felt when you were younger. So how do you stop yourself from being invisible? Or is it just inevitable and you have to deal with it? Christine Bagley-Jones is a Brisbane psychologist. Hello, Christine.
Good morning, Ashwin.
Is this something you confront with your clients very often?
Yes, I am finding more and more people acknowledging the fact that when they're, you know, merging into their 40s and 50s, there seems to be a shift in the way the general public are observing them when they're socialising.
So tell me about this invisibility concept. How does it manifest in people's lives?
I think it varies from person to person, and certainly it's very much dependent on how you've lived your life thus far. But if you've been enjoying the fruits of being young and, you know, fresh and being noticed for those attributes, as you start to age and your looks might potentially fade a little bit, you might be acutely aware of the fact that, you know, you're being less recognised, and that could really impact your sense of self.
What? Tell me about the effect on a person.
Well, depending on how much weight you've put on your looks and attributes will, you know, influence how much it impacts you. So if you're someone that has, I don't know, enjoyed lots of attention because of the way you look, you might not have been focusing on other attributes that you also have, and therefore when the time comes that, you know, you can't really rely so much on your features, you find you're a little bit lost.
So do you encourage people to wean themselves off their looks from a young age?
Oh, as early as possible. It's just one aspect of a human. It's not something that unfortunately, it's quite disillusioning, because when you do notice that your looks are fading, you'll also probably be aware of the shallowness of humans at times, and, you know, it's a bit of an end of an era.
Yes.
So the trick is not making it an end of an era, just always understanding that even if I do enjoy being young and gorgeous, there's so many other parts of me that's just as important.
Do sometimes people not know their looks have faded?
Oh, absolutely. And you know what? I love that, because I think it's very subjective. And if you still feel beautiful and, you know, feel like you want to put it out there and celebrate that aspect of your life, that's well and good too. I don't think that's something that we need to judge.
Yeah, I was just bringing this up because one of the producers here was saying that there's a lot of, you see some, you know, 50, 60-year-old men hitting on, you know, 20-year-olds, and in their mind, they're still that same 20-year-old uni student in the 70s.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, provided that, you know, they're not being offensive or crossing any lines, I don't think that there's any problem with that, except that I'd be concerned that at some point they'll hit a wall and just realise that they're getting knocked back, and maybe that's going to leave them to feel quite empty inside.
Do women experience this more than men?
I think I'd be safe to say yes. We still live in an era where women are cherished more for their physical attributes. I know that there's definitely a shift there, and luckily there's, you know, a redefining of beauty that a lot of people are getting behind, and that's what I encourage mostly. But yeah, but I am seeing a lot of men also very aware of their mortality, and they're, especially because of the high divorce rates, they're back in the dating scene often in their 40s and 50s, and they're, you know, having to confront some of the similar issues that women have.
You are listening to ABC Radio and hearing from psychologist Christine Bagley-Jones about feeling invisible as you get older. If you have got a question for Christine or a comment on becoming invisible, the number to call now is 1300 222 612, or you can send a text to 0467 922 612. Are there certain personality types that this affects more, like introverts versus extroverts?
I'm not certain around the personality types. It's more for me around observing a person's baseline self-esteem and where they generate that self-love from, so how they've defined themselves. So I've seen introverts, for example, that have really been crushed when they're not noticed because of their beauty, because perhaps that's what they relied on. So it's really not so much whether you enjoy the external praise from others, it's more about internally how you validate yourself.
So what are some healthier ways to validate ourselves?
Well, the first thing is just don't rely on something so superficial as just one aspect of your entire constitution. And from an early age, make sure you're nurturing other qualities that are admirable, like, you know, being kind and you know, creative and bright and engaging. There's so many other very vivacious traits that will attract positive attention if that's what it is that you're seeking. But I guess overarchingly, even stepping away from needing any kind of external validation would be the key. But it's a big ask for young people to completely close themselves off to that and just look inwards to understand your worth.
It sounds like this is based on a hierarchy. You feel more beautiful than the average, so that's why you feel good. But is kindness going to give you the same hit? Would you have to feel more kind than others or more compassionate? How do you still do we need the hierarchy to get that self-esteem?
It's an interesting point. I feel like if we could just move away from all of those scales, and it's you know, we're humans, and I guess innately as animals, there is that sort of law of attraction that takes place. But we've all met somebody that might not be super easy on the eye, but they're just so warm and engaging, and there's so many other qualities. They're interesting, maybe they're well-read, they've got other draw cards. And so as, I guess, a society, it'd be wonderful if we could have more conversations around what beauty really looks like.
Seems like confidence is a big part of it.
Confidence is great. And when I talk about confidence, I don't want it to be confused with arrogance or dominance in a situation. Confidence can be very quiet and unassuming. It's all around just a belief in yourself that doesn't need to be externally generated or reinforced.
Are there techniques people can use to develop that confidence?
Oh, there's oceans of techniques around this, and I'm a big fan of many of them. It's about spending time each day focusing on who you are as a person and growing yourself to be the person that you most will enjoy being with, essentially. You can't escape yourself, so why not start to foster qualities in yourself that are beyond just, you know, looking in the mirror and being happy with the way you present, and look at other traits that, and some of them can be quite unique to a person's character. So that becomes really appealing to others also, because of the fact that they're a bit exotic if someone has certain, you know, attributes that just aren't, you know, off the shelf.
You're listening to Christine Bagley-Jones, psychologist, about becoming invisible. If you want to ask Christine a question, the number to call is 1300 222 612. Is it happening now more than before,
this judgment as people age? I think we're aware of it for a couple of reasons. Firstly, we have the blessings or the cursings of social media. So lots of body beautiful, like lots of people are posting what they think looks beautiful, what's in. The influencers out there are, you know, generating a certain push. And we also, as I said, have this sort of new wave of dating that often happens in your 40s and 50s with marriages separating and people having to find partners. So again, there's an awareness that maybe didn't exist so prolifically previously.
I was talking to a dating website expert who is focused on people over 50. This was last week. And she said a lot of times when people have come out of a marriage and they're dating again in their 50s, what they're really looking for the most is companionship. So maybe your appearance is less important than just showing that you're a good companion.
Yes, and I've had clients myself saying, look, you know, I was really attracted to my first husband or wife. They were beautiful, but they lacked all these other qualities that, you know, now that's what I'm going to be prioritizing when I seek another partner.
Do you think we sometimes make others feel invisible, and is there something we could do differently?
Yes, I feel we need just to be very aware of ageism and how it filters into our lives. I was just speaking to a friend and neighbour before coming, and she's a very esteemed professor in her field, and you know, she's in her 50s, and she talks about colleagues that are even older and how they're starting to feel less noticed just because of their age, just because of the fact that they're mature, even though they've got like a wealth of knowledge that would surpass the average young person. So it's definitely about us starting new conversations and validating more than just how many wrinkles you have on your face.
Yeah. What role do you think social media plays in this problem?
Well, it can be your friend or it can be a beast. I love some of the followers that are maturing in age. There's a woman that I follow. I can't think of her name, but I could find it, who's 69 and she's French and she's just beautiful. And she doesn't hide the fact that she's maturing in age, but she has it in spades when it comes to style and lifestyle choices. And, you know, we see now even things like yummy mummies, you know, women. I spoke to a friend yesterday, a different friend, about this topic. And she was like, well, and this friend of mine is absolutely gorgeous. And she said she really felt it when she had children, that once you're pushing a pram down a street, suddenly she felt very invisible comparatively. But then I sort of argue, well, we've got this new sort of flavour of yummy mummies and, you know, celebrating beauty in all its different elements.
You're listening to ABC Radio and Brisbane, and Christine Bagley-Jones is here to talk about becoming invisible as you get older. Peter from Redcliffe has called in. Good morning, Peter. Wait, let me just try and grab Peter again. Hello, Peter, you there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
What was your question for Christine?
I'm a bit worried about the selfie generation, you know, the people who keep taking selfies of each of themselves, and I'm sure they're going to really suffer from narcissism and eventually realise that they're not so good-looking as they used to be.
Yes, and they've got the documentation to prove it, I guess, if they're taking all these selfies. And, you know, I've got five young children and, well, one's an adult and three others are teenagers, and they are so addicted to taking photos of themselves and presenting in a particular way that's right in at the moment, according to Instagram's influencers. And it's a problem, and I'm always trying to pull them back from that realm into something that's got a little bit more depth.
Peter, do you have some selfie takers in your life that you're trying to get under control?
No, I don't believe in selfies.
There's a comedian who talks about when the baby boomers, they used to turn the camera outside and take photos of the world, and the current generation turns it inside and takes photos of themselves. It was a nice way of putting the difference.
And I'd love to think it's a phase.
Thanks for calling in, Peter.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Do you think that selfie generation, the selfies are a reflection of their narcissism, or is the selfie taking causing the narcissism?
I think the word narcissism gets bandied around way too loosely. It's a pretty significant term, and it's if someone actually had narcissistic personality disorder, they would have lots of more complex problems than just taking photos of themselves. I think it's more about vanity.
Okay.
And definitely it does foster vanity, because you're taking photos and you're comparing to your previous photos or other people's photos. It just keeps your focus on a very superficial level.
Is there anything in the way they were raised that has encouraged that vanity?
I feel like the average parent is aware of the concerns and trying to quell it as much as possible. I would say it's more around social media and just what the media's saying a good time looks like, and that is spend a lot of time on grooming before you go out, take a lot of photos with your friends like you're having a great time, and make sure you look spectacular with the long eyelashes and tan and everything that goes with it.
So what can we do about this problem?
Have conversations around it, have shows like this that talk about it, invite people to start being curious about their own personal well-being and making sure that they're doing work on their self-esteem that is more balsam than just that narrow one focused element. And I guess when we're complimenting others, maybe be more conscious rather than focusing on how someone's presenting. Talk about other things they're observing.
Yeah, instead of you look good, I like this thing about you, your personal qualities.
Yeah, something they might have commented. So I found what you just said really interesting. You know, it's so lovely having this conversation with you. Or thank you for noticing this part of my life that you picked up on.
Great tips. Christine Bagley-Jones, psychologist, thank you for coming in.
You're more than welcome. Have a great day.
On your radio and online.
At home or on the road.
This is ABC Radio.